Hello, I'm Hilary, and you're listening to an Adept English podcast designed to help you learn to speak English fluently. I love the English language, and I help hundreds of thousands of listeners speak English every month. Listen to this podcast today and see how your fluency improves. Hi there, and welcome to this podcast from Adept English. If you're enjoying our podcasts and you're seeing some of the benefits of listening to English language as practice and learning, then make the journey to our website at adeptenglish.com and sign up for our free course, The 7 Rules of Adept English. This course gives you the fundamental principles that we use at Adept English, and it will improve your English language learning by instructing you on exactly how to use the podcasts. It's a video course, which is probably unusual for us, so all you need to do is put your email address in and subscribe, and you will get the course in your email inbox over the course of 7 days. It's well worth doing, and again, lots more free English language practice. Let's do some work today on what are called contractions in English. You may not know this term, this word, but you will be familiar with contractions, or at least I hope so, because we use them all the time. Another use for the word contractions is when a woman is about to give birth. The pains, the muscle spasms are called contractions, but that's not what I'm talking about here. Contractions in English language, I use them in podcasts all the time because it's part of the natural way of speaking English that native speakers use. In fact, there we are. I said it's part of the natural way of speaking English. It's is a contraction. It's a contracted form of it is, spelt I-T apostrophe S. So there you have it. That's a contraction. So these contractions are used with the really common verb forms, especially of the verb to have and the verb to be. In fact, when you learn the verb to have and the verb to be right at the beginning of your language learning, if your purpose is to be able to speak English, then really you would be better learning the contracted forms from the beginning as well. So as well as learning I have, you have, he has, she has, it has, we have, they have, you would learn I've, you've, he's, she's, it's, we've and they've, because these forms are what we actually say in conversation. And if you're, oops, there's another contraction and another one in theirs. If you're learning the verb to be, then as well as learning I am, you are, he is, she is, it is, we are, they are, you do also need to learn I'm, your, he's, she's, it's, we're and they're as well. If you're finding this confusing, then listening to the podcast with a transcript, the written words in front of you, would be perhaps easier. You can find the transcript on our website at adeptenglish.com, or you can listen to this with subtitles on YouTube. So, of course, the verb to be and the verb to have in English are very important in their own right, but we also use them for other tenses. So they matter for all verbs. I've been eating lots of carrots this autumn, or you've really made me happy today. So these are very, very common contractions that pop up all the time. In those two examples I've just given you, they're there because we're using the past tense for the verbs to eat. I've been eating lots of carrots this autumn, and to make, you've made me feel really happy today. And it can be confusing. You'll notice, of course, that the he, she, it form of both the verb to be and the verb to have are the same. He's, she's, it's. So you have to know from the context which one you're dealing with. What also can be confusing is that the contraction for I had is the same as the contraction for I would. I'd, and that's carried through all parts of the verb. So as well as I had, you had, he had, etc., and I would, you would, he would, it's good to also know I'd, you'd, he'd, she'd, it'd, we'd, and they'd as well. And of course, the future tense, which you'll know goes I will, you will, he will, she will, it will, we will, they will. You'll also need to learn the contracted forms of these, which are I'll, you'll, he'll, she'll, it'll, we'll, they'll for spoken English. And as well as recognising them when you hear them, it's a good idea to be able to spell them too, with the apostrophe in the right place. The apostrophe, A-P-O-S-T-R-O-P-H-E, is a little mark which sits in place of the missed out letters when you come to write down spoken English. So it is worth practising these. Notice I said it is worth practising these. The reason I didn't do a contraction there because I was emphasising the verb. So you might still do that in spoken English. Of course, we don't just use contractions if we're writing down literally what someone says. We use contractions in informal conversational style, even when it's written down. So if you listen to my podcast and follow the written words at the same time, you'll notice that I use this contracted style. This is because it's informal and friendly. I'm having a chat with you. But it's also because it's important to be able to use these. So it's good for practice because this is authentic English. It would feel unnatural for me to do the non-contracted forms, the long form, in a spoken podcast. And people use this form sometimes when they're just writing as well to indicate informality. There are lots of other contractions in English, but these ones I'm covering today are the most common ones. So how about we do some practice with some of these? You may be really quite familiar with these common verb forms, but how about we practice the ones that look and sound the same for different common verbs? So he'd could mean he had or he would, and you'd only know which it was from the context. So I'll give you some sentences, and you can either use this podcast to practice mirroring my pronunciation, so say the sentence after me, or another way to use this exercise, you could practice writing down what I say. But also, for each sentence, say or write down the full non-contracted version. I'll give you an example of what I mean to start. So this is our had or would exercise. Example, I'd better go home now. So there is the I'd meaning I had or I would. Another example, I'd already have reached home before it was dark. Does the I'd mean I had or I would? Get the idea? So you can either use this to practice writing or use it for pronunciation practice. I'll say them twice. One, it'd be difficult to work out the answer without seeing the question. It'd be difficult to work out the answer without seeing the question. Two, we'd better hurry up if we want to go out tonight. We'd better hurry up if we want to go out tonight. Three, she'd like to have a pint of beer, please. She'd like to have a pint of beer, please. Four, he'd had enough beer. He'd had enough beer. Five, I'd have preferred lager. I'd have preferred lager. Six, I'd also had enough beer. I'd also had enough beer. Seven, you'd better wake up and smell the coffee. You'd better wake up and smell the coffee. Eight, my parents are old. They'd rather not drive over in the dark. My parents are old. They'd rather not drive over in the dark. Nine, it had been such a long day. I was really tired. It had been such a long day, I was really tired. 10. You'd never guess what happened to me last night. You'd never guess what happened to me last night. 11. We'd prefer it if you didn't tell anybody what you saw. We'd prefer it if you didn't tell anybody what you saw. 12. They'd inherited a very large house. They'd inherited a very large house. 13. He'd manage a very small pie, but a portion of chips would be too much. He'd manage a very small pie, but a portion of chips would be too much. 14. She'd not noticed that there was a cat in the house. She'd not noticed that there was a cat in the house. Okay, so for each of those sentences, there's a contraction, which might be a had or a would. See if you can work out which it is. And of course, use them for practicing speaking and pronunciation and for writing practice. Listen a number of times to this podcast to make sure you understand the content, the actual lesson as well. It's worth learning and very useful to your understanding of spoken English. And of course, to your speaking as well. Then you can use these contractions. The answers are in the transcript. You'll find them at the bottom of the transcript, whether it's had or would. Anyway, enough for now. Have a lovely day. Speak to you again soon. Goodbye. That's the end of this podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. You can listen to hundreds more podcasts and learn more about our approach to language learning with our free English language course available at adeptenglish.com. If you're serious about your English language learning and you want to go further and progress faster, we have English courses ready to download at adeptenglish.com today.